This episode brought to you by Not Disney or Warner Brothers. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Screen Test. I am Chaz, and sadly, Aaron is not with me this week. We wanted to play a joke where we were going to build up that we had a huge star coming on the show. So in order to do so, Aaron joined the Screen Actors Guild Award, or the Screen Actors Guild. So now he is on strike and cannot do podcasts. No, I'm just kidding. We're not professional. Aaron's here.
I was like, man, what does he want me to do here? Does he want me to just actually just turn this off and go home? I mean, I can.
I thought about discussing that with you beforehand, but then I thought, no, what if I say he's not here and he is here and I just get to watch his reaction of, do I say something?
I was waiting for it. I was like, there's got to be a punchline coming up here or something for me to react to.
So writers on strike right now, actors on strike right now. Nothing's been
It is going to be rough.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to guess starting next year, we are going to go into quite the drought because
at this point
of recording, we are what, 3 months into the writers and probably a month into the actors. So I'm going to imagine that there is going to be a huge lull in content here coming up real soon.
Yeah, it's a good thing we seemingly only talk about movies from the 90s and 2000s.
Yes.
Soon that's all we have.
And Chaz, I am going to be referencing the 90s again today. Of course I will.
I mean, we are talking about it's a top 10 episode. We're going to give you our top 10 non-Marvel and non-DC, I'm interested how you interpreted that, superhero movies, also interested in how you interpreted that. Like, where do you draw the line as to what is and what isn't a superhero movie?
There was a movie that I looked at. It's funny that you bring that up because it was a movie that I looked at that I guess was technically labeled under it, but I did not count it.
Okay.
I kept it out of there. So I did try to, when you say, there's probably at least one on here that you could maybe make the argument should not count in there. Actually, I think there's two. In fact, I think my number one might be controversial.
That's amazing.
I think my number one might be controversial because the way that I kind of looked at this is kind of twofold. Yeah. I said either it's just a straight up superhero film.
Yep.
Or it's a comic book film.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So, but was not associated with DC or Marvel.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was trying to decide parameters and I thought, okay, if anyone seems to have superhuman ability, but then you can put John Wick in that category. Is John Wick a superhero movie? So,
I mean,
I had to narrow it down a little bit more. Maybe.
I was not as strict on that one because I kind of wanted to highlight actually genuinely good movies that I enjoyed. So that was kind of my thinking.
Yeah, I thought about wording it comic book and then I changed my mind. Superhero.
I mostly did. Yeah.
Another thing that's happened since we last recorded, we recorded a breakdown of the movie Mystery Men and then the spleen, Paul Rubens, passed away. Sad day.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I didn't know he was sick. I don't know if that was like known information. We've kind of had a couple of those where actors have just kind of silently passed away. I was a huge Pee Wee Herman's Big Adventure movie fan as a kid. That was one of those movies, though, that gave me nightmares.
Yeah.
Have you seen that movie, Chaz?
Man, when I was very young, I have not revisited.
So do you remember much about that movie? Maybe that's a good one to revisit.
I have not.
There is a specific scene that is absolute nightmare fuel, especially as a child, and that is Pee-wee Herman being rushed through the hospital and the doctors are all clowns.
Oh, that's fun.
So it's this like just fever dream of an experience of these clowns as doctors, and it was absolutely the scariest thing I've ever seen. But I would love to go back and watch that movie again and see if that thing still holds up. By the way, you might be hearing some heavy rain in the background. It is pouring outside right now.
Yeah, it's raining pretty good here as well, but all I can hear is this dingus of a dog decided, you know what? You hit record, now's the time to eat. So he's just going to town, and he likes to he slams his face into his bowl so it flips up and pours the food everywhere. So yeah, that's what we're dealing with over here. That's kind of awesome, level of intelligence.
That's kind of awesome.
All right, so you said you have two honorable mentions. I only have one, so I'm going to let you go first. And let's just ease into this with some number 12, number 11s of honorable mentions.
All right, I'll just start controversy right off the top. Because this, if you kind of do just some Google, rough Google research, if you ever run into another list where it puts the best non-DC, non-Marvel comic book films or superhero movies of all time, this one was either number one or at least in the top three of every single one of these. And yeah. I'm going to put it as an honorable mention today because I'm no sheep, okay? My list is unique and it's wonderful. And that is The Incredibles. Oh, I will not include The Incredibles on my list. You are an honorable mention. You are an outside looking in.
Dang.
And to be clear, that's Incredibles. This includes all incredible films. So this is not, I'm not signaling one of them.
Yeah.
I think they're good movies, but that doesn't deserve it on this list.
Dang. Okay. Well, spoiler alert, it will end up on a list at some point.
I know. Some people here are sheep. Some are unique butterflies who forge their own path.
You just got to spread those little wings. Incredibles was doing something for me that Disney Pixar was not doing, and I love it just for that. What is their first PG movie of all time, Pixar?
You could be right. To that point, you were probably right. I couldn't think of anything. Cars. Cars definitely was rated PG.
Should have been rated PG, or maybe PG-13, because Tow Mater literally lived in corpses. I mean, if you take the logic of Cars to its furthest extent, he was just surrounded by dead bodies.
I would love that if, like, the MPAA distinction for why it was rated PG, like, that, like, I would love to see their description of, you know, tow truck lives amongst dead bodies. And you're what is this? Yeah, that would have been great.
Yeah, it's not far off of what the MPAA would do. Let me hit you with my honorable mention. And again, I feel like this might be controversial because if you're emo, this is your favorite superhero movie, Marvel, DC, anything, but it's The Crow. It's not making my actual list.
That did not end up on my list anywhere.
Not even an honorable mention.
Not even an honorable mention. To me, The Crow isn't even that good of a movie. The Crow has a reputation for one specific reason, and that is it.
I think
it's just Brandon Lee dying.
Yes, it's all the lore that goes around it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, but that's all it's, in my opinion, that's all it's really good for. So
I think
that's a totally fair outside looking in.
I think there is great potential there, but they just didn't find it all.
I mean, it feels like such a product of its time too.
It's true.
It's, you're talking about, at that time, they didn't know what to do with these types of movies. And there is, like, the 90s are just a quagmire of really rough experiences when it comes to comic book films. Mm-hmm. And to me, The Crow, gosh, if The Crow is made in the mid-2000s, let's say a post-Matrix, mm-hmm. you know, it might end up taking on a completely different feel and a completely different look.
That's true.
And, you know, probably is a weird movie that kind of holds on to a rated R rating that ends up working. But it just, in its time, I don't think it was the right movie for that. It was never going to be a huge, it's got way more of a cult following than it does a legitimate following.
That's true. That's fair. What's your last honorable mention?
Chaz, man, I dug deep for this. Okay. I remember what I've said this now in the past couple of episodes. I said this last week when we talked about Mystery Men.
Uh-huh.
When we talked about Mystery Men, I said, I'm realizing now as we're kind of revisiting old films, that movies in my brain that were massive were, nobody was watching them. Nobody was watching them. Nobody cared about them. And here is another
I've got
example.
One of those on my actual list, and I'm super excited about that.
So, all right, my number 10 is also kind of one of those. But, Chaz, if I told you that Billy Zane was once a superhero.
The Phantom. It's on my list.
Yes. That's okay. Yes. The Phantom is on my outside looking in. I think about this movie often, actually.
Yes, same.
It kind of pops into my head. I saw this in theaters. I remember the stupid skull ring and thinking that was awesome. Like, that was the coolest thing in the world. And when you mentioned this list and I looked this up and I was like, did the costume look as stupid as I think it looked? And I pulled it up and I was like, yes. It 100% was the dumbest costume ever. Like, so bad.
Yes. He was like
so bad.
The Tick, but purple and no antennas.
Yes. So dumb. With a dumb black mask. Because I believe this was a character that existed back in like the 50s mm-hmm. or something like that, yep. and they just decided to adapt it as is. I don't know what they were thinking. Again, it's been years. Maybe we should revisit this yes. one, because now that we both have a connection to it, this might actually be kind of interesting to look at. But yeah, for me, this was I had to put it on the outside looking in. I didn't think anybody else had ever even heard of this, so I'm kind of glad that you did.
Yes.
And I can't believe you put it on your list. That is just wild.
So good.
Did you have another outside looking in?
I did not. That was it. So we are in okay. the official okay. lists.
Okay.
You ready for my number 10?
I am.
What if there is an allegory for Jesus, but it's a cop who gets blown up and they make half of his body a robot, and he kills the dad from That 70s Show? That's right. It's RoboCop.
I almost had this one. Now, help me out here, because yeah. you've already said something that immediately piqued my interest okay. here. Is it really an allegory for Jesus?
I mean,
I guess he's dead.
Yeah.
And then comes back to life. But that's as far as the allegory goes, right?
I'll have to look it up again. It's been a long time.
Was Jesus known for blasting criminals with...
With guns?
With guns?
Yeah. He's cyborg, you know?
Fighting a giant two-legged robot thing that the police created?
I read an article once that was RoboCop and Superman. Death of Superman and RoboCop as allegories of Jesus. So I'll have to go back and find.
I can see the Superman one. Because he's like honorable right. and nice and wonderful yeah. and a hero to all. But
RoboCop's Peter Weller.
RoboCop. I thought RoboCop was much more of like... It was like a view of like violence.
Yeah.
It was kind of one of those... That. Yeah, putting a mirror up to society and its glorification of violence, and it's why the violence was over the top and ridiculous. That is a great, great movie, and I didn't know that. I was the exact opposite, because when I was a kid, RoboCop was just a cool toy to me and a cool Sega Genesis video game to me,
yeah.
but it was rated R, so I hadn't really watched it before, and I was always under the impression that RoboCop is super cheesy and dumb, and it wasn't until I was much older that I was like, oh, it was actually really smart and kind of ahead of its time kind of thing. Totally forgot, by the way, Chaz. You should probably specify here. I forgot that they remade RoboCop yeah, recently.
1987 recently. RoboCop.
That's the remake. You need to specify yeah, there.
The remake, everything you just said about how ahead of its time it was and how it was like a view of violence in America and how we celebrate it, they took all of that out of the remake and then just shoved a robot dude into a movie.
I've heard some mixed things on that remake, where I've heard some people say it was actually really good, mm-hmm. but the fact that it was rated PG-13... Yeah. leads me to believe, oh, you kind of missed the point of RoboCop.
Right.
Like, you just wanted to make a RoboCop.
It's a cash grab.
Like an actual robot cop. Yeah. And that's kind of it. You didn't actually know what else to do with that.
Yep.
So, thank you for specifying that. You are referencing the 1987 Peter Weller film.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Are you ready for my number 10?
What is your number 10?
All right, Chaz. So, you knew the Phantom. So, I'm going to do another deep dive
okay.
here. Okay. What if I told you that this is a superhero starring Alec Baldwin?
Oh, I don't know this one. Alec Baldwin.
Oh, this is another kind of a pulp classic of a character. So I believe he originated on the radio.
Okay.
And then they might have made some shows in him back in the day. And then eventually in the 90s, he is created into his own superhero. And this is The Shadow.
The Shadow. I don't know that I've seen this one.
This was kind of an interesting one. This is another failed movie project, because that's all apparently I watched. Yep. I only watched the failed movie project. So they wanted this to be, they thought this was going to be the start of something. They thought it'd be a line of toys. They thought maybe TV shows. They thought sequels. But it was a one and done. It cost about $40 million to make. It made about $43 million. Okay. So it never took off. Basically, Alec Baldwin can go invisible.
Okay.
Is the thing. There are these scenes that stick out in my brain, which, by the way, a young Alec Baldwin was a very handsome looking man. He did a very good job in this film. Mm. But there are two things. There was this dagger that was alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget the scene of him grabbing the dagger, and it had like a face on it, and it bites into his hand.
Oh.
That was awesome. And then one time, Alec Baldwin is invisible, hiding inside a water tank that was filling up. I don't know why. I don't remember. And then, him getting shot as he's invisible and, bleeding. But he's, like, invisible bleeding. Really random things that I remember about that movie. Yeah. But I loved that movie.
Okay.
And, again, one I would love to go and revisit. And I think I know why he stuck out to me so much, why that movie was so impactful to me. My favorite superhero at that time, if he counts as a superhero, I didn't count him as, so I didn't put him in here, was Zorro.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
To me, Zorro was the all-time coolest person in the world.
100%.
As a young child, I was Zorro for Halloween once because I just idolized him so much. To me, the Shadow was like a version of Zorro to me.
Yeah.
So,
okay. An invisible Zorro.
So for me, the Shadow, I have that at number 10.
I've looked it up, and do you know what a young Alec Baldwin looks like?
No. Who?
Stephen Baldwin.
Yeah. There is a scene in the movie where he's got really long hair, but it was pretty brief. Other than that, he's pretty clean cut in the film. But he looks like his brother. He does.
This movie also has Peter Boyle, Sir Ian McKellen, and Tim Curry in it.
Yeah. Great movie.
Yeah.
Great movie.
All right. Yeah. So at my number 9, we are very much in the childhood just section right
now. Oh, yeah.
Actually, most of these are just my childhood. But there is a villain that stood above all villains in my childhood. And he was the kid's version of Freddy Krueger, I would say. And his name was Ivan Ooze. And he came just started destroying the world. And he had to be stopped by the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. And that is my number
1. Yeah, this is a good one. Yeah. I didn't know you were like that big of a... Was Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, was that controversial as a kid for you? Was that like a... You weren't allowed to watch it?
I had...
Or you had friends that couldn't?
I don't know if I had friends that couldn't, but I can tell you that about this time I had also seen Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th, so we're just watching anything and everything.
Jeez. Okay, so you were one of those kids.
I was one of those
kids. You had that household.
Yeah.
I remember, so I was a big Power Rangers fan.
Okay.
But I remember it being somewhat controversial because... I think like as a kid that age, the idea of watching people fight was like, you'll encourage kids to kick the crap out of each other.
Yeah, for us.
So there were some friends that I had that couldn't watch it.
For us, violence was okay, but when Harry Potter came along, don't you dare witchcraft, boy. You can violence all day long.
Yeah. Go ahead and kick the crap out of each other. But if you repeat one of those spells to try and make your sister levitate, you're in big trouble.
Stop
there, buddy.
Stop standing in the backyard and trying to talk to snakes. Just cut it out. It's creepy.
I don't have the Power Rangers on here at all.
Okay.
So I'm kind of glad that you brought that up.
Just the, what was it, 1995 Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie. I never watched the show.
What?
Yeah, just that one movie played.
That movie is great.
Yeah.
But the show was so good.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it here and there, but I can still picture Ivan Ooze in my brain. If I close my eyes, he's in those New York streets just tearing it up.
You know who... Because this is going to lead into my next one. You know who else he looks like? Who I think he was probably modeled after, really?
Skeletor. No, I have no clue.
No. And that leads into my number 9. My Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. He is Shredder. He looks... Okay. I think he's supposed to be a little bit modeled after Shredder.
I'm going to have to look him up now because I can picture his face.
With the mask. Because doesn't he have like a... Kind of like a little metallic mask kind of covering his mouth and nose? Ivan Ooze?
I don't remember that. I just remember his legitimate.
Am I thinking of a different villain? Now I have to look this up.
Ivan Ooze looked like if Freddy Krueger had a big.
I'm thinking of a completely different. Man, and I just watched that movie not that long ago. Who was the guy that I'm thinking of then from the Power Rangers?
Wait a second. You just watched Mighty Morphin Power Rangers not that long ago?
I would say probably 4 or 5 years ago.
Really?
Like, I don't know why. I want to say it was because of my kids, but can I be so certain?
They were not even around.
Can I be so certain? Well, Lily would have been around.
I mean, like, they were in Jersey or something. Just you at home with some pizza rolls.
They existed, but it was just me.
Are you talking about the gargoyle-looking dude?
No.
Okay.
He's like a big, muscular dude. He's red, and he's got a face mask.
Oh.
He definitely is a Power Ranger villain.
Yes, I know what you're talking about. He looked like Shredder and Carnage from Spider-Man Had a Baby.
Yes. Yeah. So I thought that's who Ivan Ooze was. That's who I was getting confused with. So now my transition completely sucks, and I completely blew it up.
Okay.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, that is number 9 for me. A huge part of my childhood. I was a Donatello fan.
Yeah.
I had so many of the toys. The video games were my absolute favorite video games of all time. I just adored the Ninja Turtles. And it's part of what depresses me so much is that they've absolutely destroyed my childhood in remaking these. I will never forgive Michael Bay for what he's done to my precious Green Angels.
Those look monstrous. However,
I have not
seen it, but the new Ninja Turtles looks fantastic.
I, They're actually teenagers in it, yep. Which is will be the first time the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles will actually act and sound like teenagers. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. Both of my kids do want to go see it, so I do have an excuse to go check it out. But
there you go.
As a young child, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was an all-time favorite for me. So I have that at number 9.
All right. Well, at number 8, what if I told you that there was a superhero from Africa that had to go to New York City to stop an evil villain from getting 3 magical skulls? And what if I told you that African superhero was Billy Zane? We've made it to the Phantom on my list. It is number 8.
Dude, you remembered some of the plot line?
I looked it up when you were talking about it.
I was going to say, yeah. I was like, as you're saying it, I was like, oh, that's right. I forgot of the African part.
I couldn't forget him, full costume, full latex rubber suit, horseback. Yeah, that white horse. It just looked ridiculous.
Isn't there a scene on a train? Yeah. Weren't they fighting on a train at one point? Yep. Which is pretty classic. Oh, I remember that. I wouldn't even begin to tell you who the villain was or what the plot
just
was.
Rich dude. Just Lex Luthor, basically.
I can't remember much of that. I love that you have
Vividly on this list. Remember sitting in the floor of my grandmother's living room watching The Phantom more than once. It's fantastic. And yes, I think it needs to go on our revisit list.
Since we both have a connection to it, it does make a lot of sense. We should do that.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have anything else to add to that one?
No, you've already touched all the bases that we need to touch there.
I'm going to venture a guess, Chaz, that you have this one on your list. Okay. I just kind of have a feeling you do. This is a somewhat recent one. This is not Pixar, but this is Disney Animations, my friend.
Okay.
Again, this might fall under Marvel, though. Probably where this originates. I might already be jinxing it. Is Big Hero 6 actually connected to Marvel?
Big Hero 6 is a Marvel comic, yes.
Dang it! So
with this list, though, I was very interested in if you were going to take okay, it's not DCU or MCU, but it is still Marvel or Disney, and that is not MCU, but it is connected to Marvel.
That was exactly how I was thinking.
Yeah.
How I was thinking was specifically DCEU and Marvel, or at least adjacent.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, I couldn't say the Batman. Well, it's not DCU. Right. It is still very much adjacent
right.
to it.
Yeah, I would have.
Big Hero 6... I did not think about it until this very moment that was not an original Disney property.
That is the only reason that and V for Vendetta are not on my list. Because Big Hero 6 is Marvel, fantastic movie. V for Vendetta, fantastic movie, but technically DC.
All right, well, you have to put an asterisk on this one. Because Big Hero 6, technically, I've already messed up my list and I'm at number 8.
You know what that means. Big Hero 6 gets knocked out, your honorable mention gets moved up, and the Phantom is officially in the top 10.
All right, I guess we both have the Phantom in our top 10 list.
That makes me happy. Again, similar to you, I had no clue anyone else had ever even heard of this. All right, my number 7.
You were thinking you were going to blow my mind.
Yeah.
And I thought I was going to blow your mind.
I literally was going to say the same opening line. What if I told you Billy Zane when you started saying
I did when I said that. Your arms just go up in the air. Like you just knew immediately. I got it. Yeah.
Number 7, you've already called me a sheep for having on my list, but it is The Incredibles. Again, I just love what they did. It was original. It was an interesting take on the superhero genre. It was new for Pixar, and I still think it is the best Fantastic Four movie that we've ever had, and it's not even a Fantastic Four movie.
See, you did a much better job at this, because what happened is I looked at Big Hero 6 and The Incredibles kind of side by side. I'm like, well, I'm only going to pick one.
Yep.
Because they're both Disney Pixar. And I was like, well, I like Big Hero 6 better. Big Hero 6 is a little bit more fun to me. That's where I'm going to go. And I just kicked Incredibles out. And you end up being more right by saying it's actually the original one, not Big Hero 6.
I mean, let's be real, though. Big Hero 6 is a better movie.
Oh, yeah. I like the villain in Big Hero 6. Actually scary and intense.
Yep.
The heart in that movie is great.
Yep.
I love that movie. Big Hero 6 is great. But apparently I'm wrong. Yeah. I have to put an asterisk on that, and I'm already out.
Butchered it. But what is your 7?
Chaz, we just reviewed this film. Okay. And it was what inspired probably this list to begin with is us kind of talking about films that were not related to Marvel and DC. And that's Mystery Men. I have Mystery Men at number 7. Just a way to cap off the 90s. 1999, releasing the hit Smash Mouth's all-star.
Yeah, that in and of itself is
Janine Garofalo at her height. Just a great film from top to bottom. Love it. It deserves it to be on here. So Mystery Men at number 7.
All right, well, my number 6, I don't need to add anything because it is Mystery Men.
Oh, we knew.
Oh, yeah.
We knew.
Yeah, I mean,
that was a good spot.
We did the whole episode last week because this was such a part of our childhood. So, yeah, so good.
And if you are listening to this and you don't know what Mystery Men is, or you do remember Mystery Men, do listen to last week's episode where we talk a lot about Mystery Men and why it's actually probably pretty underrated.
Yeah.
It probably came out at the wrong time.
Yes, 100%.
If it came out later, it would have been a much bigger film than it ended up being. But also, the strife happening on that film is great to listen to as well. So if you have not listened to that, go back and check out that episode. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything else to add?
Nah, let's hit your number 6.
Men. Okay. I can't remember if we watched this movie together.
Okay.
Because it's probably a little more than a decade old. So I'm going to guess we didn't. But I know we've at least talked about that. We've talked this on old episodes of this podcast. And that's Chronicle.
Okay. We did not watch this together.
Yeah. That might have been before I think we even knew each other, truthfully. It might be a lot older than I'm kind of remembering it. For any of you that don't remember what Chronicle is, again, probably came out at a good time because of where superhero films were kind of popping off at that moment. But it's three teenage kids encounter a mysterious rock, a meteor, that gives them three, they all have superpowers. It is done completely by found footage. And that was when found footage was all the rage. It was like every other movie was a found footage film. And it's great. One of those kids ends up becoming the villain, basically. Trying not to spoil it. Mm-hmm. It is great, though. That was my first experience with Daniel Hahn.
Daniel Hahn. Dane DeHaan?
Great, great. What is his name? It's Daniel Hahn, right?
Dane DeHaan, the actor?
Dane DeHaan! Oh, Jesus! What happened to him, by the way?
He went on to be in bad movies.
Like, there was a moment where it looked like he was in the Cure for Wellness.
Yeah, not a great movie.
No, he did that... That space film.
Also,
you remember that?
Yeah, not very much. Not a good movie. Valerian.
And then randomly pops up in Oppenheimer.
He was also in Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man movies. He was Harry in those movies.
Yeah, when he popped up in Oppenheimer, that's when it hit me. Where I was like, "Where have you been? I forgot about you." But that movie is awesome. I love that movie. Yeah. So for me, number 6, Chronicle.
All right. Well, my number 5, again, you've already mentioned, it's got core childhood nostalgia just stapled all over it. I know you can see his face through the mouth hole of the turtle, but that just adds to the creep factor and makes it amazing. It is 1990s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Which of the three films is your favorite?
The first.
Of the original?
The first.
See, I was the opposite.
Okay.
I liked the first... But the second was the best, in my opinion. And yet the one I watched the most was the third.
Interesting, okay. Just because it was... I mean, there was no streaming back then, so it was just on the most?
I want to say it was the only one that I actually physically owned. I think the others I had rented from the video store. And we've probably talked about this on previous episodes, but the third one, to me, is actually not bad.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have a lot of fun with that one. I don't know if you ever had this growing up. Man, this is such 90s nostalgia for me.
Mm-hmm.
Our grocery store, if you went back to the bakery when you were a kid, they would give you a free cookie. You would ask for your cookie, they'd give you a free cookie, and they would punch a card every time you got your free cookie. And I remember I went, got my card, punched it. It was like the last punch. And they're like, "Hey, congratulations. You won. Like, you won a prize." And
time
it was
out,
Ninja Turtles
out.
3. Yeah.
This is... You have a rewards program for something that's free.
For a free cookie.
So you get enough free things, you get something free?
Apparently.
Is that grocery store still in existence? That's a horrible business model. Existence.
It was just for kids,
yeah,
man. It wasn't for everybody else. It was just for the kids. It was like a little thing the kids got excited to go to the grocery store for. And so I got Ninja Turtles 3 on VHS. So I think it was like the only one that we owned.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I think I've probably mentioned this on previous episodes. The first Ninja Turtles movie always kind of messed me up a little bit because of Raphael almost being killed and then recovering in a bathtub of him like almost dead. And I remember it just devastated me as a child. I couldn't believe that Raphael almost died. That was too much for me. But again, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles rules. So I'm glad you have them there too.
Yeah, they're all the way up top half of my list, number 5.
Chaz, what are your core memories of the Ninja Turtles?
Just... splots of memory of just them crime fighting in the streets, man. I don't remember the storyline or anything. I just remember the feeling, really, that I got from watching.
I'm pretty sure I love pizza because of that.
I think so.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
My love of pizza is directly related.
I haven't done this, but if you track sales of pizza pre and post Teenage Mutant, pre-1990, I'm sure those skyrocketed.
Pizza almost didn't exist. Yeah. Like, pizza almost completely died out, but thanks to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, yep, we have pizza today. Yeah. So thank you.
Italy was almost bankrupt. Thank you, TMNT. They were almost like Greece, just throwing pizza at each other in the street.
It was rough. It was rough. Chaz, my number five, another great film. And if you look in his list of films, this one kind of oddly sticks out there. Mm-hmm. But this is M. Night Shyamalan's Unbreakable.
Okay.
And I am going to strictly say just Unbreakable here. I am not going to put the entire trilogy in here. Just because Unbreakable is... it is a very much superhero origin film. It's kind of pure to that, where the other ones aren't necessarily that. Mm-hmm. Glass kind of is. But even then, I wouldn't put it in a traditional sense. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm going to put Unbreakable in here. Bruce Willis, great in the film. Samuel Jackson, great in the film. You got that Shyamalan twist in there. So for me, Unbreakable is number five.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, same. I like where... it started, Unbreakable. It felt a little shoehorned in to Split. And then Glass, can take it or leave it. It was not necessarily for me, I guess. They're just target audience for everything, you know? But I just wasn't the target audience for that. My number four, I am worried you're going to make me put an asterisk beside.
Ooh, hi, Chad.
It is not DC. It is not Marvel. But you have already specifically mentioned this individual and said that you did not count them as a superhero. It is the very first Antonio Banderas, The Mask of Zorro.
Okay. In fairness, some people did put him in there because he is a hero. Yeah.
And he's got so super knowledge with that sword.
and don't get me wrong, Chaz. I am not going to fight you on Zorro because I was a big fan of his. But I did keep The Mask of Zorro off of here. Because I was like, well, I don't know if it's going to fall. I actually thought you were going to criticize me. So, little did I know you were going to put it on there.
The thing with Zorro for me. He fights crime. He wears a mask. And he has a distinct, notable symbol. If that's not superhero, what is?
He does. He does. And, awesome sword skills. Through and through. So, Chaz, I'm not going to fight you on that one. I am totally cool with that one because I am a fan of Zorro. So, you know what? I will allow it. I will allow it for your sake. What number am I? I'm on four. Yeah. All right. Just because this is a family podcast, I will edit myself here. But this is Kick A and or Kick Butt.
Kick Butt. I love it.
Kids, please do not repeat that. But this is a family podcast. I do want to edit myself there. But this is Nicolas Cage special here.
Oh, so this is number... he was one. Yeah, he was in number one.
He was in number one.
Jim Carrey was number two.
Because in number one, you've got... why am I going to blank on her name?
Chloe Grace Moretz?
Chloe Grace Moretz. Remember how controversial it was? Because she was, I think, 12 years old when this movie came out. And they had her swearing like a sailor in that movie. Because she was just a kid in there. But that's such a fun movie. Honestly, I don't know why the second one didn't hit the same way. I thought the second one was fine, too. You mentioned the one with Jim Carrey.
I think I've seen the second one.
I think what ends up happening, right? The first one ends up feeling kind of novel. And it feels kind of like a fresh IP, feels original, feels nice. Where the second one didn't evolve from that, I think, is where then that kind of shine rubs off a little bit. So when you watch it the second time around, it just feels a little bit different. I thought Jim Carrey was fine in it, though. I thought it was actually pretty good. So I don't think either of those movies were bad, but I'll specifically say the first one was a good movie. So I've got that at number four.
All right. Well, my number three, I'm sure this is in your top. Well, I'm not sure. Maybe it's not. Maybe you forgot this existed. But we also mentioned him last week because he was Pencil Man or Pencil Head, depending on if you're talking to him or just reading his suit, as Abe Sapien next to Ron Perlman's Hellboy. Man. What a cool movie that was to not be tied to any, just the first one, not the Golden Army, the original Hellboy. So good. So unique.
What number was that for you?
That's number three for me.
Chaz, my number three is Hellboy.
Sweet.
I want to take a little bit. We've got caveats here, okay?
Yeah.
We are specifically talking about the Guillermo del Toro Hellboy.
Yes.
Not whatever the abomination was that they just made here semi-recently in the last 5 years. So I think you're wrong, though. You
okay.
kind of took a slight...
You like Golden Army?
You took a slight shot at Golden Army. Golden Army is not a bad movie at all.
It's not a bad movie. I just... At my number three is the OG Hellboy.
To this day...
The Nazis.
There's still a lot of people that just swear that Hellboy should have gotten another sequel and deserved it.
So.
Golden Army didn't do awful in the box office, but when you're probably spending the type of money that you need to spend on a movie like that, you know, it probably needs to make an absurd amount of money, and they just didn't end up doing that. But the villain with the sand for blood kind of thing, man.
Yeah.
Just fighting the Nazis, man. There were so many good, the practical effects that are used in there.
Mm-hmm.
It will bum me out because when you know how good Guillermo del Toro did on those movies, and then you see what happens with Pacific Rim, and you're like, man, if you just knew how to take the fun and enjoyable core of that movie and also shift it into something like Pacific Rim could have been great. But
yeah,
it's a hollow movie when you compare it to how good Hellboy was.
Yeah.
So for me, Hellboy, you got it in the perfect spot, man. We both have it at three.
Number three. Yeah, perfect.
So what do you have at two?
My number two, in 2012, which was before I lived in Lynchburg, so it was before we knew each other, this first-time director came out of the gate named Josh Trank and made what I think was a near-perfect superhero non-IP movie, and then went on to make a horrible Fantastic Four and then a horrible movie named Capone, and he has done nothing since, so I guess he's done. So was Josh Trank a one-hit wonder when he introduced me to Dane DeHaan and solidified Michael B. Jordan with Chronicle?
Wow, okay. So you ended up having it. You had it much further up.
Yeah, it's number two for me. Best found footage movie, in my opinion.
The only reason I couldn't do it is because of the found footage stuff. Now, mind you, this is funny to me because me and you kind of switched on this a little bit.
Yeah.
I tend to be more forgiving of found footage films, where you tend to be a little bit more critical of them because they make you sick. And there are certain elements in that movie, and I think this happens with all found footage, where it doesn't make sense that found footage would exist for this scene.
That's fair. Yeah.
You're like, that doesn't make sense.
Who would be
sense.
Recording this?
Yes. And the one that I kind of go, I mean, really the whole final scenes of them kind of fighting doesn't make sense that there's filming going on. But I always think of, it's a cool looking scene when he's in like that full firefighter gear, and he's got the camera kind of floating above over his shoulder. As he's walking through the town, like, it looks great, but it's also like, what? I wonder if that movie, because the core concept of the movie was so good, it's one of those where I say, did found footage make it better? Did it actually serve the movie? No. I think that movie would have been awesome as just a regular multicam kind of film.
100%. Yeah, it was novel at the time. It was, like you said, everybody was doing it. And I think the reason we flip is because since I don't like found footage, and this one, even though it doesn't serve the movie necessarily, I can enjoy it still. It gives it even that much more kick.
Yeah, yeah.
Up my list.
All right, well, at my number two is a movie that should have, that deserved a sequel. It's a shame it never got it. It is a rated R film. Carl Urban absolutely beats out Sylvester Stallone here as the best Judge Dredd we have ever had. And this is Dredd. Is outstanding. It is so good, and what just grinds my gears is reading what they had planned for the sequel. Felt like such a fun idea and concept. I was so excited for that. I hate that movie will never get a sequel, obviously, at this point. We're so far on, but that was a great movie. It deserved more people watching it to make the money it needed to get greenlit for a sequel. So Carl Urban, so good in that movie.
Yeah,
to this day, it's probably my favorite character of his.
What if they do a sequel, but they get Keith Urban?
Yes, he could be better, Chaz. You might.
They're both Australian. I'm so interested. Like, you're at number one, and I'm thinking through, like, did I forget something? What could be at your one? Because at my one is Dredd. I mean, what gets better than Carl Urban making his way up that building? That was my introduction to Lena Headey. before Game of Thrones. She was fantastic in that.
Yeah.
The whole concept of it, which we've seen done time and time again, of a drug just running everything, and whoever's in charge of the drugs just in charge of everything. But yeah, phenomenal. Beautifully shot.
Stunningly shot. Like those slow motion shots that they were doing in there. And again, it was the concept of it being in one building and making the movie that kind of thrilling without having to do a bunch of different set pieces was probably budget focused.
But it worked.
But it works. It works wonderfully. So my number one, Chaz, this is what I said is a little bit controversial because I think you could make an argument that this doesn't count as a superhero film. I really thought about this a little bit and I was like, no.
Muppet Babies it.
You do have a character. You do have a character defeating villains.
Okay.
It is based off of a comic book.
Okay.
And that is Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Did forget about one. That's so good.
Scott Pilgrim versus the World. You know what I hate? You know what I love and hate about this movie? They're kind of the same thing. Its uniqueness and humor is its best and worst features. And why I say it's its worst features is I hate how much I love this movie and I show it to people that don't get it.
Oh, that's
that miserable. Don't get it. Because there's nothing that's more frustrating to me at how well this movie is made, how good it is. And people will just not get it. And that drives me crazy. Because the vegan police scene.
Yes.
Or the skateboarding scene. The fact that they turn into coins when they die. The music is great the whole way
Everything is perfect.
There's these quippy moments that you were like, how did somebody make what is so comic booky? And translate it so... to this day, I don't think I've seen somebody take a comic book translation, like a kind of goofy, tongue-in-cheeky feel, and translate it so perfectly into a movie. To me, it's a little controversial to call it a superhero film, but I think there's enough in there
where you can pull it off. Yeah.
Perfect. So for me, I am shocked because this would be the type of movie you would have on here. So for me, Scott Pilgrim versus the World, that's number one.
That's fantastic. That is, both of these are just marvelous lists. So if you're in the mood for something that's not DC or Marvel, here you go.
You can't go wrong.
Great options. No.
Cannot go wrong.
Except for Big Hero 6. That's the only place you can go wrong. Because technically, it's Marvel, but still.
There was no way that both of us had the Phantom. I think it's got like a 46% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's clearly
not a good movie, but just something kind of to laugh at.
I would be so scared to revisit it, but at the same time, so excited.
This is what I think our kind of revisiting series has been great for, is just watching horrifically bad films that we were convinced are very good. And we.
I don't know, though. On the other side of that coin, we've watched two films, that Last Action Hero and Mystery Men, that we were like, I'd go watch this today. This is
so far, what is it? Warriors of Virtue is...
Yeah.
And Surf Ninjas. And
Surf Ninjas, yeah. Are very much
are not,
products of
which
their
were
time.
Both very strongly my picks there. So maybe it's just me. I don't know.
I don't know. Warriors of Virtue, those are heroes, and I don't see them on your top 10 lists. So.
They didn't deserve a top 10 list here. Let's be... I'm actually glad that we revisited those. Because I do... Like, your nostalgia tells you those movies weren't that bad. Those movies are pretty good. And so... Yeah, there could have been a world if we did not revisit that film that would have been like, oh, yeah, definitely Warriors of Virtue. They're kangaroos. They fight. It's great.
So good.
But yes, I at least know better to know not to include them on this list.
That's all I got for this week.
You know what, Chaz? That's all I've got as well.
Oh, nice.
See ya.